If I need to tell you who was singing that, then you're not a fair-dinkum Aussie. It was, of course, The Seekers, and with my swaggle on my shoulder. And that sort of segues into the next story. And recently there was stuff in the news that suggested camping out with your partner for Valentine's Day was a very romantic thing to do. Well, I know one significant other who would vehemently disagree with that. Wouldn't matter what day it was, where it was, how cold it was. But glamping, it does seem, is the new way to camp. So I was interested to hear that the Tasmanian government has approved a new architect-designed tent known as a puffer pod to be erected on a semi-permanent basis on the overland track and one in the walls of Jerusalem National Park in Tasmania. To find out more about the experience, I spoke today to the CEO of World Expeditions, Sue Badiari. Speaking with Sue Badiari, who is CEO of World Expeditions, an Australian adventure travel company that operates all around the world, but was started here 25 years ago. Sue, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Hi, Graham. How are you today?
Yeah, great, and good to have you there. Now,
Thank you.
Got some interesting news. I hope there's nobody who's offended by this news that you're going to be given permission to put a permanent or semi-permanent campsite in a couple of the national parks of Tasmania, namely the Overland Track and the Walls of Jerusalem National Park. They're called puffer pods. So just to take us through this, it's obviously still some design issues to be finally resolved by negotiation with the government, but I think you've obviously made great strides in getting a bit more comfort for campers.
That's right. I mean, it's really interesting that, you know, the evolution of the trekking market is that travellers really love that notion of getting back to nature, immersing in nature, and I think that the camping is very attractive to trekkers accordingly. However, it has morphed into trekkers wanting greater comfort. So the whole glamping revolution is upon us, and we came up with this puffer pod camp setup to really just address that demand and at the same time make sure that what we're doing in national parks is very sustainable. And just to go back to your earlier point, that these are not permanent structures. They're able to be demounted at the end of the season so that the whole environment can regenerate at the end of the season.
Right. I'm sure the tree huggers will be out and interested observers as to what you do down there, but just briefly describe, did the name come from you or from your architects?
It came as a collective.
Right. So puffer pod.
Just over a cup of tea, we came up with puffer pod.
Right.
Really, it comes from the fact that, you know, puffer jackets are made of that sort of down material,
yeah.
And that will fundamentally be the under...
the base?
Yeah, the base, if you like,
okay.
The shell, below
right.
the shell.
So that means a trekker, I used the word camper before, obviously a little more than that, people are hiking from one place to another, they won't have to carry as much, is that part of it?
This is fundamental, because the other thing about walking in national parks is that because there's often no infrastructure at all, that ultimately the trekker has to carry up to 17 to 18 packs. You know, kilograms on their back.
Yeah.
Now, really, ultimately, that narrows the market to, you know, a very small portion of the population that would be prepared to do that. So it locks out people for multi-day hiking in national parks. And so this was part of the whole solution, was that we had to come up with something that was A, sustainable, B, continue to bring that back to nature experience for travellers with the comfort.
Mm.
It's not glamorous, you know, it's glamping, it's not luxurious, but it's certainly very comfortable trekking.
Right.
And that meant that their weight loads went down by half of what they're currently having to. So it opens the market up for, you know, a lot of others to potentially get involved in hiking in our national parks.
Now, I know some trekking companies do carry packs for people, and they just simply walk with whatever they need for the day, but you can't really do that in a national park, can you?
Well, it adds a very high cost, for one, and so, you know, most companies won't even entertain that because they can't get their price point to a commercial level that would be acceptable.
Right. Okay. And I mean, I imagine there might be some physical limitations to getting vehicles into some of these locations.
They're in most of the areas where we're walking on tracks, there's no vehicle access.
Right.
So the propensity or the onus relies on everything being carried in by human effort.
Right. Human donkey.
Absolutely.
Right. So Sue, when might this be up and running?
Really, it's an unknown for us, Graham. We're certainly very keen to forge forward, but as you've also alluded to, we really are at the preliminary approval stage, and so there's a whole lot of other processes that we need to go through with the government and public. You know, we'll obviously have comment and what have you before the final approvals are given. So there's a lot to tease out in that process alone, and yet, you know, we're on the right trajectory and we'll be moving it along from our end as quickly as we can. But, you know, our hope is the 2021 season, but it's probably more likely the following season from there.
Now, just for people who obviously haven't seen this design that's come from architects, it is up off the ground. It's on some stumping
platform
arrangement, isn't it? Are they stumps in the ground or stumps attached to the bottom of the floor?
It's the same sort of setup that are currently in the national parks with the public camps.
Right.
So the public camps provide platforms.
Yep.
They're slatted platforms, and so, you know, the rain and the air and sunlight can get through, so there's regeneration going on as soon as camps are taken down. So it would be very similar to that, I would
think. You're not compressing the undergrowth underneath this puffer pod arrangement. And how big an area would you occupy once you've got your main sort of puffer and all the accommodation for your hikers? What sort of area would it be?
Well, that again needs to be worked out with the government. And see, that's very difficult for me to give precise measurements and things like that. I mean, there is a government policy, which is the standing camps policy, and it's very specific about the criteria for camps and that it must go through certain impact
assessment
protocols.
Yep.
And that's certainly what we will have to do to satisfy all of those requirements. And so obviously Parks and Wildlife are very involved in that process and are very strongly safeguarding the proprietary nature of national parks in Australia, you know, more generally. So I think really we will be following that sustainability process throughout this whole.
So you've made the announcement just to sort of put it out there. Is that the rationale?
Yes, and I think we've come up with something that's really new and different. And it, in our minds and views, it does demonstrate that there is a good argument for being able to have non-permanent infrastructure with comforts, opening the market up and, you know, looking after the environment at the same time while creating jobs for different states in which these walks will take place. Mm.
So once you've got Tasmania sorted, is that the toughest job to do before you then, say, move on to other states?
Most definitely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, it sounds very, very promising. When I first saw the design, I had a few questions of your public relations department. But, I mean, I think it's good on you for doing what you're doing. You obviously don't want to mess in your own backyard because you've then got to live with it, don't you?
No, and you know, we have a really good track record in that respect. I mean, we have developed permanent camps up along the Larapinta Trail in the Northern Territory. And in the same vein, you know, there's a really strong care factor there from World Expeditions to ensure that, you know, we protect and preserve these environments for future generations. And, you know, we're as much involved with, you know, those conservationists and people who want that same outcome, that really is our agenda as well.
Mm. I've got your next slogan.
Have you? What is it?
Care factor 100%.
Oh, I love it.
Right.
No, these are really very exciting, Graham. We just love the fact that it'll be cosy at night. You can, you know, pull the walls down when it's cold, or you can pull them up when it's a lovely night. You know, their seats, people's backs are protected. It's just going to be a really lovely comfort proposition for trekkers.
Well, sounds good, Sue, and I wish you well in your ongoing negotiation with the Tasmanian government, and I hope for the sake of the trekkers who like to walk in these national parks that they can enjoy the comfort you're proposing. Thanks for being on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
That That was Graham Kemlow speaking with Sue Badiari, the CEO of World Expeditions on the Puffer Pod.